Here it comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest, and I hope you can hear the smile on my face because I am smiling. Thanks for joining me tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk about good green government, is what I call it, and our tax dollars at work. We have an in-studio guest who has a lot to share with us. His name is Jim DeGrood. He's from the Pima Association of Governments, and he is the Transportation Services Director. Welcome, Jim.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure. Pleasure to be here this evening.
We're glad to have you. And since time will fly, I'm going to do the little Mrs. Green shout out that don't forget that I am here live every Saturday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, broadcasting Mrs. Green's World. And you can stay connected with me on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. I love saying that. All of which can be done by visiting my website at Mrs. Green's World. And I just have to say a little funny thing about Pinterest. Like, I can't even say that without laughing because I look and the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and all of these, the least likely candidate for Pinterest are having their little pin it tags on it now. So it's like, okay, I never take things that seriously. Why don't we start talking a little bit about Pima Association of Governments? Just a short blurb on that so I get it right for Sheila and I get it right in my own head because I think I have it down now.
Okay, well, great. Well, Pima Association of Governments is our metropolitan planning organization for Pima County. We have members that are basically all of the cities and towns within our region. Pima County is our county government, and the two tribes, the Tohono O'odham and the Pascua Yaqui tribe. So we all work collectively on planning issues of mutual concern. That can be transportation related, it can be land use related, it can be environmental issues as well, and certainly water quality, air quality, and even clean cities all factor into this.
And to me, it's like when I read about it and dug a little bit deeper, I call it the green rabbit hole, people need to be reminded of the really incredible things that are being done with our tax dollars, because it's so easy to bash the government. But when you take a more substantive look and let facts get in the way, which I love to do, you see some of the substantive things that are being done, and your department in particular, you have to look into the future 20, 30 years down the road and see it's how it's all going to work and how you're going to connect those dots. So why don't we start with 70 projects have been completed since you started?
Yeah, well, actually, my role at Pima Association of Governments is working on the Regional Transportation Authority, which is the
One arm of it.
Okay. Yeah, one very narrow interest area within PAG. But it's also the one that is the government acts. I mean, PAG itself is a nonprofit, but the Regional Transportation Authority is a taxing district of the state of Arizona.
The RTA.
The RTA, the half-cent sales tax, and
right.
plan that goes with it, the 20-year-long plan, and that's something that is, you know, kind of my area of interest.
But it's one of the most exciting and one of the hottest topics, because under you comes the bikeways, the pathways, the sidewalks, and ultimately towards the end of the show we'll talk about the streetcar, mm-hmm. which to me is a very exciting topic. It's the build it and they will come, proof is in the pudding, and that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. So 70 projects completed in the greenways, helping people get out of their cars, reducing emissions, all of those things. So do you want to highlight a couple?
Well,
do you have
any
pet baby projects that you love to talk about?
You know, it's hard to single one out because there are so many fascinating and really wonderful projects. They go from the work on the urban loop that Pima County has been working with. We're providing some funds to augment that activity. Even the urban streets, call them the the bike corridors, the bike boulevards through Midtown, places where we're taking neighborhood streets, converting them over to make them more bicycle friendly, and corridors, connecting them with signals and hawks so that people can get across the major arterials safely, and you can move from neighborhood to neighborhood, basically all across the urban fabric of our community using
and safely.
These. Safely, exactly. You know, you're not competing with 45-mile-an-hour traffic. You're basically on neighborhood streets that have more moderate speeds and are generally more safe to be traveling
We had
on.
Dinner the other night with someone, and I was talking about I'm going to venture back into bicycling. I'm saying it right here on the radio, but I'm going to be probably a bike path bike rider, which is okay. Mm-hmm. I took a couple of falls, so I love that. But this woman was waxing poetic about how safe it is to use the bike paths in this city. And she lived in bigger cities. And she said, I said, sometimes, like on our street, I'm a nervous wreck because it doesn't seem like it's a very big bike path. And she said, you can get around Tucson safely on bike paths, and it's just getting better every day.
It truly is. I mean, the level of connectivity that we're developing within the region is just phenomenal. I mean, one of the things the League of American Bicyclists has identified our region as a region, not our city, not, you know, a portion of our community, our whole region as being a gold level standard of community. There are only three communities that are beyond that gold level, reaching platinum, and we've been challenging ourselves to be one of those platinum communities. We didn't get it this time, but we're working on it, and
a
we will continue to work on it. Oh, absolutely.
So does your jurisdiction, since it is regional, because we were talking off air and we took our first trip ever to Mount Graham. It's so similar, our stories, like how could I live for all my life and just have gone there? But when we took the back road kind of out Saguaro Monument East, mm-hmm. so those bike paths, does that fall under your purview?
Yeah. We built Freeman Road.
That's a safe biking place.
Yeah, let me correct. We helped fund it. It's, you know, we have our regional partners, the county, the cities, the towns. You know, they're the ones that are actually implementing it. We're just pleased to have the opportunity to try to help focus those efforts and fund those efforts so that we can build that regional fabric, one that's interconnected and that people can really move, you know, irrespective of jurisdictional boundary line, they can get across town in a coordinated fashion.
Okay, and I really do think that's one of the most exciting because it's like it's watching the city grow. We have El Tour de Tucson. People come from all over the world. It helps us economically, and it is quietly, I want to keep repeating, our tax mm-hmm. dollars at work, making it a bike-friendly city. Huge draw for tourists.
Yeah.
Draw.
Yeah. Over the last 6 years since the RTA has been in existence, we've funded over 150 miles of bike lane in this community and 80 miles of new sidewalks. So that's your tax dollars at work here in a real tangible and a multimodal fashion.
So let's talk about sidewalks. This isn't on the script, but you can probably answer it easily.
Okay.
Where and how do you decide where the sidewalks are going to go? Because one of my favorite places to go in the city is Fourth Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And one of the reasons is because I can park my car and walk all up and down. Now there's a safe walkway to walk downtown. So is this part of, like, it gives me a headache just thinking about it. How do you decide where the sidewalks are going to go and in which neighborhoods?
Well, you know, I think what we've been looking at is working with our jurisdictional partners, the cities and towns in the county, trying to identify the areas where they think the highest use is. Typically, those are along arterials and collector streets. We don't get that much into the neighborhood level of development. But when we start looking at, say, commercial neighborhoods, Fourth Avenue, for instance, it's that whole downtown area is really going to see a lot more use on a pedestrian level as well as transit and bike. It's already heavily used in those.
It's so exciting. I mean, even with the disruption because of the streetcar, mm-hmm. downtown is hopping. I defy anybody in Tucson, Arizona, or anybody visiting to go downtown and find a dull night. It just isn't. There's so much fun, very diverse things happening with the draw, with the Children's Museum, the theater company, the Museum of Art, all the restaurants. Meet me at Maynard's. It's going on down there, Jim.
Oh, it really is. And please don't let the streetcar construction put you off from going on down there.
It's a little tiny blip.
Yeah, you can get around down there. You can park on the next street over.
Totally.
You know, there is a lot of access, and you know, we really, you know, those are great businesses down there. We hope that people continue to come down. Don't get put off by the construction. It's temporary, and man, when it gets done, it'll be dynamite down there.
Well, it's kind of funny. I was put off because I went to, we had this reception at the Tucson Museum of Art for the Frida Kahlo exhibit, which is magnificent, and we said, well, let's go to dinner at the Hub. We had to wait. I was like, well, there's construction on the that street, so probably it'll be empty. It was packed, and I was so happy to see that. There's a lot of people walking and living and making it thrive downtown, so I think that's pretty incredible. Okay, now this is, let's talk a little bit about the wildlife linkages, which is near and dear to my heart. You helped to figure out, like, where the chicken crossed the road and that kind of thing. What is a wildlife linkage, and where are you on that? What's the 30,000 feet level
view?
Well,
you know, the 30,000 foot level, I mean, first of all, I'm not the one picking where they go because, frankly, I don't know where they go.
But they have,
I have
regular
to rely
patterns.
On
other.
Yes,
right,
they do.
They do.
And it's really exciting to see what, you know, the professionals that we draw in, you know, the wildlife professionals, the committed folks at the non-governmental organizations and the interest groups that participate with this, it's fabulous. And they really help us guide the program. We have our Wildlife Linkages Working Group. It is the most well-attended working group that we have because people are just so passionate about it. And while we haven't had that many projects constructed yet, there are some enormous ones in the offing. For instance, I think our first major completed project is on the new Twin Peaks Road. It used to be called Camino de Mañana. We actually, when we built the road, we incorporated within it mule deer crossing, and it's working. There are fences that are directing the animals towards the crossing. It's really a complete package you have to put together. You have to know what the animals will respond to. You have to funnel them or direct them appropriately and in a non-threatening fashion to get them to a non-threatening crossing. And so they have to be large enough such that an animal isn't fearful going into it and will actually use it to cross the road rather than
I've
hop over.
I've watched things on PBS and other things about how that's all done. So is the one at Twin Peaks Road, is it above ground or underground?
Well, what that one is they actually raised the road.
Okay.
To go over the crossing, so it is we call it an underground or an underpass, if you will.
Okay.
But we're going to have our first overpass here. In fact, it's well into design. The Arizona Department of Transportation is working with us, and one of the things that we want to look at when we're trying to site these major improvements is we want to serve landscape level movement of animals. You know, it's trying to keep connectivity between major blocks of undeveloped lands. And what we're looking at right now is movement between the mountain ranges. That's one of the major areas.
Incredible.
And it's this landscape level movement of animals. It's identified in the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, so that was the starting point. Now we're looking at trying to implement things to reinforce that. So in order to keep, you know, as we develop around the Tortolita Mountains, it's going to become isolated. One of the things that really isolates these ranges is traffic corridors. So we are looking at our first overpass that will be going over Oracle Road, basically just north of the Oro Valley town limit line.
You are kidding. And what will that be for crossing?
Oh, it'll be crossing everything. I mean, there has been, you know, documented evidence of large mammals, of cougars, mountain lions, if you will. They will cross. They have been radio collared and seen to cross over roads. What we want to do is we want to try to make sure that we're providing them a safe place to do that, one that isn't in conflict with the traffic. And so this is a real major piece of wildlife infrastructure for us. The other thing we need to do, and we're doing not just the bricks and mortar projects, but one of the things that the working group has been real passionate about is making sure that we understand how wildlife interacts with our roads better. So we have done some studies. We've actually monitored culvert crossings, put video cameras in them, and observed how wildlife will behave around them to try to understand how we can make them more attractive to be used, and to be able to know whether a javelina prefers a metal culvert pipe to a concrete box. You know, I mean, it's
but
crazy.
But think about that. Yeah. I mean, that's the part that excites me, learning about that, because it's not anything that the average citizen walking down the street is thinking, where are the javelina going across the road? Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating to me. Now, in terms of the reasons for the migration, I'm sure it's very complex, not a simple answer, but is it encroachment issues? Issues and water patterns, and like you said, the road patterns, D, all of the above. You know, I can't even imagine what all goes into it.
Yeah, well, you know, different species have different motivators, and where a mountain lion might have an enormous range and they'll be going throughout it. You may be looking at javelina that have a much narrower territory.
Right,
Or smaller territory. So, you know, these are all things that, and I'm probably, my apologies to any of the wildlife professionals out there that may be hearing me butcher this, but this is kind of my take on it as an engineer.
I'm ditto with you.
So. I'm just glad that they're helping us really refine the plan and make sure that we're making wise investments.
And, we were talking about Mount Graham. Everywhere you go up there, you turn around and there's a beware of the bear sign. They must have a huge bear problem. We're not getting into the red squirrel, but I did Google that and do a lot of research, and it was so incredible to learn as much as I did. I did the newspaper version when it was controversial, but it is a beautiful, pristine wilderness.
It's amazing.
But we're off topic. Okay. Talk about nearly 80 transit service improvements. I'm reading from my notes because it is a complex carbohydrate. Yeah. Weekends, evenings, what do you do to coordinate that?
Well, the major transit provider in our region is SunTran, operated by the city of Tucson. And, they have a huge challenge in terms of funding that. And this is something that over the years, leading up to the RTA plan, they've always had to struggle with the very difficult choice of how they spend their discretionary general fund.
It's such a vast geographic area to cover in this sprawling county alone.
Mm-hmm. And, when you have to make the choice between transit, police, and fire, and parks, it's something that is quite a challenge. And I feel for the council members that have to make those choices because they're not easy. But what we were able to do is we were able to identify specific improvements that could be very easily implemented. The city of Tucson had a fleet of 200 and some buses.
Right.
From an operating standpoint, they were operating them during, basically from peak hours to peak hours. But what it didn't do was it didn't help some of the most, it didn't help the swing shift worker. It didn't help the worker was, maybe at the call center dealing with, the early evening phone calls. These are people who really would benefit from transit service. And so we were able to provide very targeted funding to allow the hours of operation to be extended. Didn't have to buy additional buses. The buses were already in the fleet. The service center was there. They were able to add on those hours of operation, and we were able to provide funding. We've also been able to try to help the discretionary rider, the person who wouldn't ordinarily get on the bus. Where are they coming from? Up here in the foothills or down in, in the extended area, Oro Valley, Marana, Saurita. Those are areas that haven't historically had transit. And but it's a tremendous growth area and a tremendous area where people they're all heading towards work centers, or many of them are. If we can provide a service that is focused on that need, we can get more users of transit,
which is such a great direction to go for the the environment, for all of the costs for fuel as gas prices go up. I think it'll be a growing trend. But you're right. It's about, can I go down to, you know, like to AJ's and get on the bus and take a bus to the U of A for a basketball game? Those are some of the real things that instead of...
Well,
20,000 cars, yeah. But it's going to take a while.
Yeah, we can't get you to the basketball game yet, I don't think, unless it's between 8 and 5. But we can get you to work. And, you know, that's where the vast majority of our trips are.
Right.
And so, you know, if we can get people, you know, into the buses, we added new routes. Routes that would originate in Oro Valley and go to the downtown, go to Raytheon, you know, our major employment centers.
And you can bike to a bus stop.
Oh, yeah.
And put your bike on the bus. I love that.
Oh, I know. Just clip it onto the front. And, you know, we've added park and rides. We've built park and rides in Oro Valley. We've teamed up with businesses in Moran. In fact, the casino, Casino del Sol. We were able to, you know, we knew we needed a transit park and ride out on the southwest side.
Right.
We were able to work with them, and we provided service with the money that we would have otherwise spent in building infrastructure. They provided it. It's just a great relationship.
That's great public-private partnerships.
Absolutely.
Now, the thing that blows me away is that... We have 4 minutes left, and I know.
It
does go so fast, and people sometimes say, how are you going to fill a half hour? Well, you and I could fill another hour. Let's talk a little bit about the streetcar, because it was such a controversy, and now people are starting to love it, okay? That's right. I forgot we started it. We have a little bit more time.
Okay,
good. I'm sorry. You're right. We do have more time, but let's go to the streetcar.
Okay.
Talk about the role that you played as were you in the job as RTA director when all of this was being planned and the controversy around it? Because I'm a fan.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You know, I personally have had a fairly limited role in it. I mean,
okay.
It's something that I have a colleague who is our transit services director, and he is totally engaged. He's been with us for about a year now, almost a year and a half. And he came to us from the city of Tempe, where he was involved in getting the metro up and running in Tempe. So, or was a participant in that. So we have transit, true transit, and rail experience that we've been able to bring in to help with the program. We are. This is a project that really was conceived by the city of Tucson. And, you know, as we move towards the RTA, the development of the RTA plan, it was identified as, you know, this would be a project that we could include. There was a lot of support for it. There's some people that were doubters, too. I'm confident that just as there were doubters in Phoenix about the metro,
exactly.
They'll, you know, once this thing's up and running, I think we'll see a lot more believers. And with the RTA plan, we are providing about half of the capital cost. And it was kind of a leap of faith. And with the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the Obama administration or the Department of Transportation awarded the city of Tucson a $63 million Tiger Grant, is what it's called. And that's really the other half of the funding equation. So we're bringing in about $75 million of capital. The feds are bringing in 63. Between the two funding sources, that's the that's getting most of the funding for both the acquisition of the streetcars, first American-made streetcars in over 40 years.
Oh, and, unbelievable. That's another plus,
yeah.
plus.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely nice to see that being built here in the United States. And so between those two funding sources, we're able to put together the project.
Now, there are lots of people that listen to Mrs. Green's World from around the country, and they download the podcast. So just explain a little bit. I should, you know, reel it in a little bit and back up and talk about just where the streetcar is going and what it's going to connect.
Good point. The streetcar is going to basically operate between the University of Arizona and downtown Tucson. It'll go through our 4th Avenue district, through our university main gate area. Actually, it starts at the U of A Cancer Center, which is basically, or the U of A Health Center, which is basically at the northeast end of the campus.
Right.
Goes along the north side of the campus, the entire length of the campus, then turns south down 4th Avenue. It goes into the downtown under the railroad tracks on the 4th Avenue underpass, then courses through downtown, past the Tucson Convention Center, actually goes under the interstate, and then ties in the west side, goes over the Santa Cruz River to the west side, to our origins area over near the A Mountain area.
It'll be hopping during Gem Show.
Oh boy, will it ever?
Gosh,
yeah,
it'll be so more people will go because they don't have to go down there and find parking.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I think the city's exploring is trying to when you have an event at the Tucson Convention Center, the event ticket also has a streetcar pass on it. So, you know, this is a great way to co-brand the two and take full advantage of that.
It is. And I heard a presentation on it in my Rotary Club very, very early on and became a believer. And one of the claims that was made by the presenter, and I remember who it was, Steve Pageau, he said that there has been a proven track record around the country where they develop streetcars that private money comes in. And there were some people saying, oh, yeah, right, for our downtown. So guess what, folks?
Where's the
building?
It's coming
in. It's coming in. And I read about two major projects of private funders that develop, guess what? Student housing, because the University of Arizona is booming, the enrollment is growing, so they need to house those students who are the perfect demographic for the streetcar.
Yeah, truly, you know, they're excited about it. They're interested in living and working and being downtown. And you know what? Even though we're coming out of the worst home building slump we've certainly seen in my lifetime. We hadn't seen tower cranes in downtown Tucson in 20 years. During the worst economic slump, home building slump, they're building in downtown Tucson.
That's right.
I got to think that's a good sign and a sign of success in the streetcar potential.
And it was really important to me. I always like to do a shout out for partners of Mrs. Green. The TEP building, the Unisource building, it's fun to just go down there and walk around. I mean, it's just absolutely work of art. All those people that work there now drive downtown. They eat downtown. Soon they'll be able to shop more downtown, which is great because it will populate itself.
Yep.
So I think that's exciting. So how long of a project is the streetcar, the building of it, and when will we have our green ribbon cutting ceremony in Tucson, Arizona? Is there an estimated date?
Well, we're looking right now at late 2013.
Okay.
That's fast. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a lot. You know, and one of the things that's, you know, my hearts go out to the people who are alongside the streetcar alignment. Help them if you can, the businesses down there.
Really important that we emphasize
absolutely.
That. Don't be afraid to go to 4th Avenue or downtown.
There's plenty of parking.
It's not hard.
No, it really isn't. But, you don't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. And there are...
sure I ever heard that one, and I'm not kidding.
Well, that's one that, I think when you're in construction in a downtown area, yeah, you're finding a lot of stuff you didn't know was down there, stuff that was put in the ground 100 years ago. So there are going to be challenges as we go through this. Bear with us. This is not an easy task. We've got a great construction contractor on the project, one that's got local ties and national depth. So we're excited to have them working on the project. It's Granite and Track Works. They're doing a great job. They're on time, on budget, and we're excited about it.
So there, the time flew when we were having
that
fun.
It did.
It was. Our in-studio guest has been Jim DeGrood, Pima Association of Governments Transportation Services Director. Love to hear about our tax dollars going to such unbelievably impressive projects that are helping to build revenue, improve the face of Tucson. So it's been a pleasure to interview
you. Oh, it's been a delight. Thank you.
And please don't forget MrsGreensWorld.com so you can find out about great guests like Jim DeGrood and when they're going to be on Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Make it a great green week. Thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World.